School is out. Now let's get real with Mike Ditzenberger and Miles O'Shea.
Hey, Miles.
Mike, what's up?
Not a lot. We're back at it. We have to complete our segment on the big questions. I think we're at why now. Why do all of this? Why teach? Why learn? Why?
Yeah. which might be the most important question, right?
So right.
We talked about the what a whole lot last time. We talked about what we teach, and this is why we teach it. And this is kind of communicating to everybody why we teach it, or getting people to understand that. What is the why? Why do we do this?
I want to focus on something that we talked about prior to hopping on here. You were talking heavily about wonder. And if I'd like to go into a little bit more detail about that, like how do you were reading a book about wonder and, you know, getting kids to wonder about their learning. I think that's essential when we talk about why, you know, why kids would want to learn, why we're in front of them, why we share this space. But talk about a little bit about that wonder.
Yeah. So I've talked a little bit before to you, Mike, and on the podcast about learning in the natural world and then learning in school, and how school makes learning, it's an artificial learning environment. And it's created so that we can teach and learn certain things, but it's artificial. And like 99.9% of all things that humans learn happen outside of school. Like your life, the second that you are born, even before you're born, you are learning as a human. And all of that learning is natural and effortless and happens. It just happens to you. And then in school, we try to replicate that learning that happens to get specific things to people. But when we do, like I said, it's artificial. And the more artificial it is, in my opinion, the less effective it is. So just to take one quick step back from that then, when you're thinking about that term wonder that you said I was talking about, to me, wonder is the start of all learning that someone would do outside of a school. Think of anything that you would learn as an adult right now. It begins with wonder. I wonder why. I wonder if this is possible. I wonder why grass is green. And then you pursue trying to understand that. But that's how it happens naturally. But in school, we most of the time skip that step. And we just tell people, today I'm going to tell you why grass is green. In the natural world, I would never learn that unless I wondered why grass is green. Or if it's possible to like grow bluegrass. That's cool. I just wondered that right now. But in school, we just say, today you're going to learn why grass is green. And so automatically, right now, I made that artificial.
Yeah.
And to get to like the authentic why, I would say, we just start with the wonder. And you give kids opportunities to wonder in a classroom prior to getting to this standard that I have to teach about plants and growth and why certain plants are green.
It almost sounds like something that we've talked about within our own realm of things outside the podcast. It almost sounds like the hook. You know, I'm trying to hook students into this idea that, you know, the powers that be, the people who are paying me to do something, to teach something from a standard and then according to a curriculum and now down to my classroom, they're saying, you have to teach this. I accept that I have to teach it. But now I want to create wonder within a student so that they kind of want to learn about it, so that they are creating their own exploration within this realm of things. And I don't want that to sound hokey, but it's true. If I know something that you don't know, and I find it kind of cool that I know this, why wouldn't I be excited to share that with you and maybe spark that same excitement? It kind of sounds like, as a teacher, I'm creating a hook for students that will possibly lead them to explore it a little bit on their own, or they're create a desire for them to want to explore it a little bit more.
Yeah. And when we talk about this, you know, I call it selling the why, answering that why question for them up front. But when I'm talking about it in the Wonder model, think about how easy this would be. Okay, the state is requiring that students understand why grass is green. And I don't know that that's a standard or not.
Yeah.
It might be. It probably is. There's a standard for everything. Someone at the state decided that this is, you know, the first thing that I ask my students could be, okay, you know, I'm telling you guys what the goal is today. We're going to understand why grass is green. This is what it is. It's tied to this standard in my state. Those guys sitting in the room decided everybody needs to know this. Why? Why do you guys think that someone would write that standard? That can be the why right there, Mike. And just think about what that question allows for wonder. Why would that be important for people to know? That's wonder right there. And like you could have a 15-minute launch on just sharing and thinking about wonder about that.
And what a rich opportunity in a constructivist world. What a rich opportunity to have kids connect that wonder to something that has already been meaningful in their lives. So to relate something that they're about to learn with, that wonder might drive them to connect it to their own experience and then want to expand upon it, kind of creating an opportunity for kids to extend, as you said, to go beyond something I might introduce as a standard, to take it a little further by connecting it to something they're interested in.
And here's what I'm saying, I guess. In the natural world, if my learning starts with wonder, I'm looking out and I'm wondering why the grass is green, and then I learn about it. If in school it doesn't start with my wonder, and that's that real constructivist approach, but if it doesn't start with that, I am never going to care, and that is never going to even stick with me. It's going to be this thing that you present to me. I kind of give back to you because I have to, but real learning hasn't happened. It's super, super artificial.
So, right. You're forcing something into me and then forcing it back out of me and then rating how it came back out in an artificial manner. You might have I guess that's something that I've always wondered about too. It's something that's driven my practice is, if you're forcing something into me in some methodology, so let's just, for the sake of this conversation, you're going to lecture something to me. I'm going to take notes on that. And then you're going to tell me about all these scenarios where this is important. And then my output on it is most likely different than the way it was input. So for example, you lecture me and then you want to gauge my understanding of it by my written response. Those are two separate things that I've always been like, why do we do that? Why is it that I do a worksheet on something and I fill this worksheet out and I filled it out on something that you told me about, and then I have to fill out another worksheet on Friday and call that a quiz on something that we might have done activities on all week long? That's false. That's so artificial.
Right. And just to kind of take that one step further from what you're saying, Mike, I think that most of the questions that we ask of students in school have already been answered. And then, like you're saying, because they've already been answered, we're just asking students to answer them themselves and then give us their answers. And then we judge the quality of their answers to questions that have already been answered, to things that can already be done. And with, you want to talk about the world changing with AI, they can literally do that skill that I'm trying to teach to someone in under half a second. But we're judging all of our kids' ability to do that, and this robot already can.
Yeah.
And that is the definition of what I'm saying, artificial learn. It's fake. It's artificial.
Right. I just had this conversation with a teacher yesterday we were both smiling during the conversation because she gave a writing assignment to her students. They've been working on this project for quite a while now, and it's got several writing assignments to it. And, you know, we could peel back the essence of why writing is important for all students, an expression of, you know, it's a way of communication. But we were smiling because one of her students' older brothers said, "Hey, did you know that with a click inside your your browser tool there, that I think they were using Chrome, with one click, you can have a program rewrite your entire essay, check it for grammar, spelling, and even make it whatever grade level you want it to be. This was a kid who's in 10th grade or 9th grade talking to his 5th grade little brother. And so she was going around the classroom and saw that this kid was playing with it and says, you need to turn that off. And she was laughing at me because she goes, it really is interesting when you think of how our role as teachers has changed. And I said, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for just saying that.
Right. And what's the most dangerous question? This is going to go right back to the topic of this podcast. What's the most dangerous question that any kid has ever been able to ask in any classroom? Why do I need to know this? Yep. Why? Okay. And we always have to be able to answer that. We should answer it up front, or like I suggested, allow students to answer that by wondering why themselves. But if we can't, then we shouldn't be doing it, right? We have to have the why. That's the sell. That's the hook. That is what we're all doing. But like you're saying, if our why is off and if it doesn't need to be done, then we need to shift right now. And I could make a pretty good case that a lot of the learning that's going on and a lot of activities that are going on in our classrooms have not adapted. And they, like researchers would tell you, over the last 100 years, but now exponentially, like over the last 2 or 3 years, to meet the needs of what people are going to be able to need to do with the assistance of artificial intelligence and things like that.
Yeah. My next statement is in no means to degrade any profession. I did it for quite some time, but you know, teaching is a little bit more than stamping parts. There's nothing wrong with stamping parts if you're in a factory that stamps parts. However, I think that the sell, the why, that is the essence of the craft. You're being paid to teach children and measure learning. I would strongly suggest that whatever you're teaching to children, if you're a teacher at this, get excited about it. It is a hook. You've got to sell it. And it's got to be sold more than what you just said. It's important because the next grade requires this. It's important because this is what's on the test. No. Sell it in a way that excites you. This is your interview for a job. Constantly sell that lesson as if it's the interview for your next job. Your next job is to come in tomorrow and teach again. Sell today for tomorrow.
1 second, Mike. I got to get these for Casey.
So, yeah, I'm passionate about selling that why, being excited to do something in front of kids and get them excited too. That's all. I guess that's the bulk of it to me.
Right. And, you know, you got to be able to answer that why. You got to have an awesome answer to the why for every lesson, for every unit, for what you're doing. And, you know, when we've talked, Mike, for why you're there, you got to have great answers for all of those things. Why are we doing this? Why are we learning this? That has to be built into the lesson and given to the kids. And like I said, I think the kids can give it back to you too. Then it's authentic. Then it's real. Well, why am I learning this?
Yeah. And I think that you can build a culture within your classroom that is real and less created too. I guess where I'm going with this is there were things that I didn't like to teach. And I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before too. So there were things that just didn't excite me within my curriculum. However, I couldn't not teach them. They had to be taught because the people that were paying me said, this is part of it. So I would always flip the script a little bit, and I would be perfectly honest with my kids, because by the time I got to that level with them, I'd already created a positive culture within the classroom. And I would tell them and be open and say, I'm not going to lie to you guys. This is something that doesn't interest me as much as it should, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to prove me wrong. Now, maybe you should sell it back to me. And I would just create this scenario where the kids could then explore, and the kids could take it in their level. And then we would come back and be like, who agrees with me that this wasn't the best thing, or who found something in this, or let's talk. We created opportunities out of nothing, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was something that I didn't really care for. I was open and honest about it, but we built it into something interesting anyway. So the hook was just different. It was just me being creative, you know, kind of like eating your vegetables as a kid. You have to eat them, but maybe if you realize with a little bit of butter and salt, they're okay. Another analogy for you.
But I mean, you're making me think, Mike, of a really real challenge that everybody faces in that school system, school districts, states, classrooms. There is a set of the stuff that your state has said that everybody should be able to do and everybody should be able to learn. And that is for everyone, blanket. Everybody that lives in this place needs to learn all of these things. It's reality, but that's also a challenge too. And in some ways it's artificial, because I think that we could honestly say that everyone doesn't need to know everything. And certainly everyone's not going to want to know everything. So the more, and this is the teacher challenge, but this is what I think that can happen. The more you can make the why and the what individualized for kids, and in the year 2025 and beyond, I really think that we can get here individualized with individual wonder and individual exploration and then individual creation, the better off you are, because everyone doesn't need to learn everything the exact same way and do everything the same. Mm-hmm. That would make an awful world. That's kind of like the front of where we start with this general set of skills and knowledge, but we don't have to end there in the things that we do as teachers. We can take the general set of the what, the skills and the knowledge, and then we can allow for individual exploration and individual why to make that individual out here. That's like the craft. And I think that's the level of creation that I see and get like so excited about being able to happen from a teacher's perspective. And I think if you like approached it kind of like what you said before, like, we just got to teach this and we just got to do it, because that's not the why, right? That's not the why. Yeah. And we can do it. We can do so much better than that with even the framework that we've been given.
Yeah. And I don't know, I'm kind of reaching out there a little bit, but I would suggest to anybody listening to this is lean into yourself more than you lean into your stuff. You know, the why comes from you as a person and less from the stuff that you're using. And I would say like less than your glitzy, glamorous textbook, less than your amazing animated PowerPoints or your fun designs that are on your interactive board. The why is you. The why comes from you as a person and not the next slide on your presentation. It might be the best slide, the most colorful animated thing, and it might be catchy, but what's even more catchy is you explaining why it's so catchy and creating that moment of wonder for all your kids to want to think about that. Otherwise, it's just another slide to them, and it's just another slide to you, and you're trudging through this lesson just to get to the end of it. And I say, back that up a little bit and create that moment again for yourself and say, this is why this is so important. I love this. And then let them share in that same excitement for it.
And for the what you're saying, for the very worst what's, for the very worst of the what's that we are required to teach kids, the very best whys are always us. They're always the teachers in the room. And that can always be the best why. We have to do this because we have to do it. This is what we're doing. This is our goal. The why is because I care about you. The why is because who I've proven to be in front of you. And this is going to be like a fun, enjoyable experience no matter what. And you guys are going to lead through this with me. because of who I am for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's truly, since the dawn of teaching and learning, from the one-room schoolhouse to now, all the way through, when all of us think, you know, when I was a kid and school was different, but what was the same? The same thing that caused us to want to be in a classroom in front of kids was probably that person, that who, that sold us on the why and using the what. I mean, you know, they used the same things. They were essentially doing the same things that we're doing, because education, public education, hasn't changed in 100 years. We look back on those wonderful experiences because somebody sold it to us in a way that we respected, in a way that was interesting to us, in a way that made school very, I wouldn't say always fun, but made school pleasant. And that's the why. That's the why. Think back of what made you love school. And there, that's it. Tap into that.
And here's where I would go with this. And then I think we're there as far as what I want to say about it. The why, when I said there's authentic real learning in the real world, and that's 99.9% of all human learning. And then there's the 0.1% that happens in schools. The part that happens in schools, the why, it should be as real as we can possibly make it. The why explanation for why we're doing this today, for why you're going to, the product, and there should be a product of your learning, that should be as real as we can possibly make it. That's authentic. We're taking the real world learning aspects, we're bringing them into the classroom. Now it's not artificial, now it's real. You are going to build, create, do this with the things that you're learning. You're not going to fill in the blank on the worksheet. I'm going to assess whether you got it right or wrong and give it back to you and say learning has happened. That's fake, okay? So the why has to be, that's my best advice on the why. When I'm explaining to my kids why we're learning this or what we're going to do with it, I need to connect it to the real stuff. It's real. It all came into the school from the real world. Then we like sift it out and make it real, real fake sometimes. Then we have kids looking at us like, why do I need to do this, right? Why? I need to get back to the real stuff. And I need to make the product, what will we do, real. Get back to like the real stuff and you will have the right why.
So you're saying we can talk about that grass, but eventually we should probably get our feet and hands into the grass.
I'm saying go dig up the grass. I'm saying grow the grass. I'm saying create something with the grass based on a current challenge that has never been done before. I'm not going to replicate this fake experiment that 50,000 people have done and grow grass on the windowsill. I'm going to figure out a way to make new grass or something else we can do with grass or how we could make a new kind of grass. I want to have the challenge real and be something that kids are going to create. Real. Yes, sir. Real grass. Yes. Not on a worksheet.
I don't think it could be said better than that. So there you go. There's your why.
And that's it, Mike. The teachers walk into the rooms. You have that why. You have that why connected to what you do every day, starting with the kids and you and your passion. And now we're teaching.
Yep. That's when it happens. Well, thank you. That was excellent.
Hey, I liked it.